soon coming King. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
To Shiloh Baptist Church, we are a place of peace where Jesus is Lord and people are lost. We exist to
employ.
Exalt.
Engage.
Experience. Equip.
Empower. Good morning. This is Pastor Danielle Brown, Senior Pastor of the Shiloh Baptist Church here in Plainfield, New Jersey. We are absolutely elated that you are worshiping with us today. Listen, if you're here in the sanctuary, take a moment to check in on all of your social media pages so that everyone knows that you are here at the Place of Peace. If you're worshiping with us virtually, we're glad that you're here too. And we ask that you would take this moment to like this broadcast. Matter of fact, don't just like it, love. love this broadcast. Share this broadcast with all of your network, and then tag all of your friends and family members in the comments, because we believe that something is going to happen here at the Place of Peace that will change your lives forever and for the better. 2022 is the year that we re-engage, reclaim, rebuild, reimagine, and renew. And we are so excited that you are on this journey with us. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds for the Shiloh experience, which begins now.
Shiloh.
Good morning.
I said good morning, Shiloh.
Good morning.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad with him. Now let us receive the morning prayer by Myla.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us wake up this morning. Thank you for having a great church. And thank you for letting us wake up to a great pastor, Reverend Pastor Danielle L. Brown. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hey, bless the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah, for this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. How many know that we serve a good God? Even on a bad day, he is still a good God. Hallelujah. So can you just put your hands together with us this morning as we worship him, as we declare, hallelujah. Come on, I need to see your hands clapping for him on this morning. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, here we go right here. Say, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, if you know him to be a good God,
This morning, that we serve a good God. Hallelujah. He is so great. And in His goodness, He continues to be our strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And today, if you need strength, I would implore you to stretch yourself and begin to worship Him and begin to praise Him. And in your praise, God will begin to strengthen you in whatever you're going through. Hallelujah. He is a strength like no other. Hallelujah. We bless His name.
You're a strength like no other. God, you're a strength like no other. Reach out to me. You are my strength. God, a strength like no other. Your strength is like no other. And it reaches to me. Come on, everybody, say you are. Strength like no other.
This is a time that we pause in our worship service to welcome our visitors. If there are any first-time visitors in the sanctuary, would you please stand? Our ushers are handing you a visitor card because we would like to keep in touch with you. Please fill it out and place it in the offering basket during the offertory service. Whether you are visiting for the first time, a returning visitor in the sanctuary or online, we are pleased that you have chosen to worship with us today. I pray that this experience adds value to your life and that you come back to worship with us again. On behalf of the Shiloh Youth Ministry, the entire Shiloh Church family, and our pastor, the Rev. Dr. Daniel L. Brown, we welcome you to Shiloh, a place of peace where Jesus is Lord and people are loved. We look forward to continuing our spiritual journey together.
Join us every Monday through Friday for our prayer call at 6:30 a.m. Please call 757-841-1415 using access code 673-4192. Join us every Tuesday for Bible study beginning at 11 a.m. with Deaconess Charlotte Banks and at 7 p.m. with Pastor Danielle Brown. All login information will be posted on the church website and on social media. The City of Plainfield, in partnership with SHIELD, returns with its pop-up vaccination and testing clinic on March 30th from 3 to 6 p.m. No appointments are required. For more information, please call the helpline. Join Shiloh's Prayer is Essential Ministry prayer call every fourth Tuesday of the month. Please call 605-472-5383 using access code 318-750. Shiloh, we are gearing up for Holy Week, which begins with Palm Sunday on Sunday, April 10th. We invite all women to participate in our 100 Women in Hats event. Followed by our Don't Stress the Dress Easter Sunday, stop by a table in the lobby to pre-order a t-shirt or call the church office. Join us Friday, April 15th at 7 p.m. for our Good Friday service. And mark your calendars for Holy Week in-person morning prayer from Monday, April 11th to Friday, April 15th at 6:30 a.m. in the sanctuary and stream to the church website. Please note the next baby dedication will be on Sunday, May 22nd. If you would like to have your baby or child dedicated, please contact Sister Marlene Powell at officeassistant@shilohplainfield.org. Shiloh Baptist Church will be represented at the 59th Eastern Region Annual Sessions of the Progressive National Baptist Convention as Pastor Brown is sharing as the keynote speaker for the closing session on Friday, March 25th at 11 a.m. Services will be streamed on their Facebook Live. Shiloh family and friends have various ways to contribute tithes and offerings. Giving can be done by mail, the church website at shilohplainfield.org, through Zelle, using Cash App, using the hashtag Shiloh Plainfield, PayPal, or Givealify. That's all for now, Shiloh. Enjoy the worship service.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, put your hands together and give God praise for his grace, his mercy, his loving kindness, for another day in the presence of God. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time? Come on, just show God that you're glad to be in his house one more time. And not just those that are in the house, but those that are in the virtual house. Let us know online that you are excited and just glad to be in the house one more time. We thank God for all of you. Just look at the person that is next to you or down the row and say, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you are sitting next to me. Now, if that's not true, look at the other neighbor. Deacon Hand, you better look at Deaconess Hand. Did you look behind yourself? I saw you. No, it's good to see you all, Shiloh. I certainly missed you last week, but I'm thankful for Reverend Thorpe for standing in and filling in the gap and sharing. Last week, I was with no stranger to Shiloh, but actually an old friend of Shiloh, the Reverend Dr. F. Bruce Williams of the Bates Memorial Baptist Church in Lexington, in Louisville, Kentucky. But I watched. So there's a story out. A little birdie told me that some folks have been calling around saying Pastor Brown is having praise breaks and stuff like that. But I watched Reverend Thorpe. I was not here. I watched Reverend Thorpe spin around right here. So when y'all tell the story this week, it was Reverend Thorpe. It wasn't Pastor Brown. It was Reverend Thorpe last week was spinning around and y'all were praise breaking and carrying on. I watched it. I was online. But we thank God for great worship experiences here at the Shiloh Baptist Church. Every time the doors are open, we have a great time in God. Amen. Curry and Nikki Martin in the house today. Are they in here today? No. But they celebrated their 24th wedding anniversary. And so let's celebrate. Maybe they're online with us today. But happy anniversary, Curry and Nikki. We celebrate marriage. All the married folk, just stand up real quick. Just pop up if you're married. I won't call you to the altar and make you slow dance this week. But all the married people, come on, let's celebrate marriage. Celebrate marriage. Y'all keep doing it. And keep doing it well. Keep doing it and keep doing it well. Amen. We celebrate marriage. We will be going to anyone who wants to come. This is in my notes. I will be sharing as the keynote speaker on Wednesday at 7 for the pastoral anniversary of Pastor Myra and Eric Billups at the North Stelton AME Church on Wednesday night. And they have invited all of us. And so all of you that would like to come and fellowship with North Stelton, we will be there on Wednesday. You heard in the announcements that on Palm Sunday, that's April 10th, we are going to dress to the high heavens. I'm even going to preach in a church hat. Jalen has been laughing about this for weeks. I'm going to preach in a church hat, but we want to have at least 100 women in hats. Anybody in the house have a church hat? Wave your hand. We'll pull them out on the 10th. Where is Sister Mary Clowney? She probably is online, but she is ready. Y'all pray for Sister Clowney so that she can decide on one hat. She might bring a couple and swap out, but we are going to wear hats. And then on Easter Sunday, we are indeed going to not stress the dress. And so invite your kids, your grandkids, everybody to come and join us on Easter Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of our King Jesus. And we will have, we do have some t-shirts that you can pre-order. And the note here, after service, you can pre-order them, or you can call the church office during the week to get your Shiloh shirt for Easter. But don't even stress that. We want you to get the shirt. If you want to have the shirt, you might have a shirt that you want to wear. It's fine. Don't stress the dress. Say that with me. Don't stress the dress. We're just going to celebrate Jesus. How many of you are just excited about that? Our prayers today are with Sister Suzanne Brown, who lost her cousin, Eva and Jennifer Cunningham, who lost their son and brother, Sister Alicia Mitchell, who lost her sister suddenly this week. And Alicia's here in worship with us today. Come on, just put your hands together for Sister Alicia. We're praying for you. We're praying again for Sister Betty Wilson, who lost her niece, as well as Sister Marianne Anderson in the passing of her sister, longtime Shiloh member, Barbara Anderson Mitchell. And we also are praying for the family of Brother Michael Holliday, who transitioned a couple of weeks ago, and his homegoing service was held on Friday. We are praying for all of those who are sick and believing that God is a healer. How many of you are testimonies of God's healing power? And so we thank God that he is indeed a healer and that his healing virtue will go to the homes of all of those who are on this list today. And we are praying, amen, for each of them and each of you, because sometimes things go on and we don't even know how to articulate it, or things go on in our world and we're not necessarily comfortable calling the church office and saying, hey, this is going on. But here's what I want you to know today, Shiloh and friends, that we serve a God who can interpret the things that we don't even say. We serve a God who reads tears fluently. We serve a God who knows all about it. And sometimes we just need to be reminded that God can and God will, and that God hears and that God does indeed care. Amen? Come on, put your hands together and celebrate this amazing God that we do serve. And then I want to thank Sister Tina. Didn't Tina lead us in worship today? Amazing. We have some of the most amazing ministry gifts here at the Shiloh Baptist Church. And look at your neighbor and say, and you are one of them. And you are one of them. And you are one of them. And so I want to say this before we go into our giving time. If you are not connected to a ministry, get connected. We have several ministries that you can serve in here at Shiloh. And one of the greatest things that you will ever do in your life, aside choose Jesus as your Savior, is to get involved in the work. Right? So let's get involved in ministries. There are several of them. Everybody can't sing in the choir. Well, maybe everybody can. Every choir needs a good clapper. But if you know you can't sing, we have ushers. They'd love to have you. We have a sound ministry, but let's get connected. Amen? All right. It's giving time at Shiloh Baptist Church. Come on, let's celebrate. It's giving time. And we have several ways to give to Shiloh. The giving methods are on the screen today. Is that Brooke? Hey, Brooke. It's good to see you. It's good to see Brooke and Alex and all of our visitors and Brooke's parents. I'm sorry. You know I love children. So sorry, parents, if I overlook y'all. I was trying to get Sydney's attention over here when I sat down. Hey, girl, you doing all right? That's good. It's giving time at Shiloh, so let's stand to our feet. If you need an envelope, just raise your hand and our ushers will serve you. Our trustees are coming at this time. But listen, we are a tithing church. What is the tithe? Tithe is 10% of all of your increase. And scripture tells us that if you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you will not have room enough to receive. What is the offering? The offering is what we give that is above and beyond the tithe. The offering is not the tithe. It is above. It is your generosity beyond the 10%. And what does the Bible say about those who give offerings? The Bible tells us that as long as the earth remains, that seed time and harvest will never cease. And so your offering is your seed. It's the thing that you generously give. But the blessing in being a tither and an offering giver is that you will never run out. Right? Because for the tither, the windows of heaven are always open and there's always blessings being poured out. For the seed sower, seed time and harvest will never end. And so even if it has not manifested yet, if you've sown seed, you know it's on the way. Are y'all with me? Are you excited about giving today? I'm excited. Every opportunity to give. Because here's what I realize is that the only reason I have is because God gave. And as long as we have something, you might not even think that it is significant, but it's something. And as long as I have something, it means that God is given. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? Come on, hold your gifts toward heaven. Gracious and almighty God, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord God, that all that we have comes from you. And so it is our delight today to give back to you, to sow seed into this good soil that is Shiloh Baptist Church. And God, as we do, we pray that you would advance the ministry of your kingdom, that through our giving, Lord God, the hungry would be fed, the naked would be clothed, that those, Lord God, who are in need of hope would receive hope because of the seed that we hold in our hand. God, I pray for every tither, that your word would come alive in their lives and that their testimony will be that your word is true and that indeed you have opened the windows of heaven and poured out blessings upon them that they will not have room enough to receive. God, I pray that this church will be financially healthy. I pray that every household represented here and online would be financially healthy, that God, you would move your people into our abundant place. And we pray this prayer in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus, who was and is and always will be. And let all God's people say amen, amen, and amen. You are in the hands of our ushers. Follow their direction and come on and let's give cheerfully.
Great things. better than that. Put your hands together as we give God thanks. So there should be some names momentarily streaming across the screen. For the past three, I believe, Sundays, we've been encouraging and asking parents, those of you who have young people that made the honor roll, at least one marking period this year, that you would submit those names either to myself or the church office, because we want to encourage the academic success of our young people. Because how many people can testify that it takes an education to navigate the obstacles? Oh, come on, somebody. It takes an education to navigate the obstacles of life. And so I just wanted to congratulate Lanaya Nichols, Leah Latimer, Nyla Mae Johnson, Hunter Nichols, Shayna Peel, Trey Peel, and Maya Bridges. Come on, can we put our hands together for our young people who living in this day, doing the best they can on this side, and still serving our Lord. Minister Brian and Pastor Brown, we are extremely proud of you. So when y'all see a young person in the hallway, encourage them. When y'all see them struggling or hear about their struggles, sit down with them, pour into them. See what you can do to help them along this journey that we call life. Because I don't know about you, but there were some very special and kind people, even in my old age, who have encouraged me to go back and do what the Lord would have me to do. So God bless you, Shiloh. God bless our young people. And to God be the glory. You're now in the hands of Brother Vincent Walker.
Give God glory in this place. Can we all just lift our hands? Can we all just lift our hands? Can we all just lift our hands? While we're lifting our hands, can we offer the fruit of praises to our God by just opening up your mouths and filling this room with praise? Just open up your mouths and fill this room with praise as we lift our hands in worship. No clapping, but just lifting our hands. This is a time for us to worship God. This is a time for you. It's a personal thing between you and Him. He deserves all your worship. He deserves all your glory. He deserves it. Yo, you know, we got to give Him glory, give Him honor. And this is the time that we can connect with Him and open our mouths with the fruit of our lips and tell Him how much He is worthy. He wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear it from you. You are the only one that can be thankful to God like you can be and tell Him from your own lips, God, we love you, God. We thank you. We worship you. We give your name glory. We give your name honor. Thank you, God, for life. Thank you for waking me up this morning, God. You're so good to me, God. You're so kind to me, God. God, you are merciful to me. God, I know that I'm not deserving of this grace and mercy, but you allow me to see it this day, and for that I say thank you. It's okay to clap our hands, but can He hear that from your mouth? Is it okay if He can hear that from your mouth? Let's open this room up with nothing but praise and worship. Open up your mouths and just give God some glory in this place. Come on, come on. Just tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him that you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor. You deserve my hallelujah. You deserve my worship. You deserve my time. You deserve my praise for all that you've done for me. I am going to be here to give you glory. That's why I woke up this morning to come to this church. That's why I'm here to give Him glory. Somebody open up your mouths and give Him glory. Come on, open up your mouths and just give Him glory. You deserve all the praise. You deserve all the worship. Let's give you an opportunity to sing the song with me. Let's give you an opportunity to praise God like never before. Amen. He's worthy of it. Can we all just stand to our feet and just let Him know how much worthy He is? You deserve all the glory. You deserve all the honor. That's only if you want to do it. I'm not here to make you do something that you don't want to, but I'm here to invite you to worship with me as I worship with God. You know the song. Help me sing it. Listen.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Can you help me sing it?
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Listen, why?
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Somebody say my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs.
Saying, somebody say,
my hallelujah belongs to
you. Oh, 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 oh. My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs
to you. Why? Somebody say, you deserve.
You deserve it.
Somebody say,
you deserve it.
With all of my heart, with all of my soul. Say, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Say, my hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Whoa. Can somebody begin to worship him right here? Lift your hands and begin to open your mouth and lift. Let's worship him in here. Come on, somebody worship him behind me. Somebody worship him behind me. Somebody worship him behind me. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all the glory, of all the honor. You're worthy. Now put your hands together like this and worship your God in this place. Come on, put your hands together and worship your God in this place. You deserve it. You deserve it. Do you know that he deserves your worship? Deserves your praise?
Come on, standing all over the sanctuary, please stand on your feet. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you for just being our God. You do indeed deserve all of our worship. You deserve all of the glory. You deserve the honor. You deserve everything, Lord God, that we can possibly yield at your feet. You deserve it. You've been that kind of God. Now, God, we thank you for this worship experience. We thank you, Lord God, for saving our lives, preserving us to the point where we could even be here. It didn't have to be this way, but you saw fit for it to be. And so, God, today we thank you for another opportunity to worship. We thank you for the healing that is already taking place through worship. We thank you, Lord God, for the reminder that we are not in this world by ourselves, because you sent a saint to simply smile or shake our hand today. Someone was nice to us in the comments. We thank you. Now, God, we come to this preaching moment, and I ask that you would sanctify it, that you would make it your own, that you wouldn't allow any of these, your precious people, to suffer because of the humanity of this preacher. But God, please stand up in me to the end that from this sacred desk to the door and wherever this broadcast may land, your people are edified, encouraged, empowered, and excited to run on and do your work in ways that will turn this world upside down, and not for any glory of our own, but only for the glory of the one who is, the one who was, and who always will be. And his name is Jesus, and it's in that name that we do pray. And let all God's people say amen. Amen and amen. As you take your seats, I want you to tap over into your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read in your hearing verses 9 through 13. Thank you, Brother Vincent. Thank you, choir, band. Come on, y'all, put your hands together for our music ministry and for their amazing ministry to us every week, every week. It's just good. It's good. Thank you. Speaking of music, what I failed to say is that on April 10th, Palm Sunday, we will also have a women's choir. And so if you want to be a part of the women's choir, they'll contact Sister Tina Marshall. She'll get you started with all of that. And so we're going to have a women's choir on that day. We'll give the brothers a rest so they can rest up for Easter Sunday. But not you, band. It won't be an all-woman band. So the brothers will hold down the band. But I failed to announce that. But if you want to sing with the choir on Palm Sunday, they are ready for you. And so let them know. And welcome back home, DeMarco and wife, Mr. and Mrs. James. Was it your anniversary? Birthday! And can I tell them where y'all went? The Saints went to Dubai. We thank God for you both. And listen. See, God will bless you if you live right. But we're glad that you guys are home safe. We're also praying for them because while they were on vacation, Brother DeMarco tragically lost his nephew. And so we're glad that you're in worship today. And Shiloh, let's just love on one another. You never know what somebody's experienced. And so it's just good to be good to folks. Amen? We're praying for you guys. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 9 through 13, the word of the Lord reads this way, "But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some of y'all already turned me off because you did that last line. You got some ribs waiting for you at home. Listen, come on, come back in. Come back in, saints, come back in. And you know, I've been praying for the church for a long time. Before the pandemic, before a Trump presidency, I've been praying for the church at large. My prayer has been that Christians, we, would mature to the point where our journey with Christ is not simply about what we can get, to include what he can give us or what the ways or the right connections in his name can yield. I've prayed that we, myself included, would mature to the point where even if God does not move on our terms or within our time frame, we would rest in knowing that God's timing is sure and that God is no less God. And in the meantime, view the ability to serve our sisters and brothers to be just as much a blessing, Deaconess Flora, as favor and healing and deliverance and the other things that we ask God for. Can we talk today just a little bit? I've been praying for us that we would grow away from an over-reliance on gimmicks and entertainment, grow away from an over-reliance on things being the way that we are used to them being, and totally rely on the grace, the presence and reality of Jesus Christ, even when that means that our immediate needs and gratification and fulfillment and impulse can no longer be the only priority. Because we understand the blessing and burden of being a Christian, of being a witness of this gospel that we have been trusted to carry to the end, that others may know God's transformational presence and power in their lives, with so much going on, being self-centered could be easily justifiable. There's so much uncertainty and so much instability in various aspects of life, and cultural mantras like YOLO and survival of the fittest are easy to adopt. Personal prioritization, y'all know what Beyonce said, me, myself, and I. There's an ideology that does not find anyone outside of our immediate space to be worthy of consideration when we are making life's decisions, great or small. I mean, you've seen the news. You don't have to watch it very long, Christina, just to hear comments by elected officials concerning the poor and concerning healthcare. Some of you can't even have a peaceful dinner at your own house because of varying views about how we should take care of our neighbor. It's not my responsibility to take care of the poor. If they worked harder, they wouldn't be in the situation that they're in. What does that have to do with me? Or conversations like, why should I have to pay more for healthcare so that everyone in the country could have? What does their problem have to do with me? Or, I don't want to wear a mask. It's uncomfortable. I don't care that wearing it could help reduce the spread of COVID. I'm just not going to do what I need to do. I'm not getting your vaccination. I don't care. It's a hoax. Mind you, hundreds of thousands of people are dead. Death ain't a hoax. Sorry, Mom, death is not a hoax. And the worst part of this is that this me mentality is not just out there. It's in the hearts and the minds of Christians to the end that our practice of faith reflects the same self-centered ideology. The problem with this is that this Christian journey is never solely about me. It's never been an every person for themselves situation, but it's always been about us. Somebody shout us. It's always been about us. God, y'all know God. Wave your hand if you know God. God exists in three persons, one God in three, and even in creation said, let us. So what's the point? What's the point? The point is that when we allow this me mentality to cause us to be insensitive to the impact of our choices and actions and words on others, we hinder the other's ability to embrace the truth of the gospel. Did y'all hear that? I heard a preacher say some time ago that the world would be a much different place if Christians would simply be more responsible. As Christians, we've got to engage at a higher level of responsibility as we have been trusted with this gospel. And at the end of the day, our measuring stick is not cultural ideology. It's not whatever the latest fad is, but it is gospel principle. And there are a lot of things that we can do, but just because we can do them does not mean that we should. And so what do we have to do? We've got to adopt this mentality that says, I can, but I won't. Somebody shout that with me. I can, but I won't. With this in mind, we've got to manage some things responsibly. And this is not an exhaustive list, but today I'm just going to give you three. And I want y'all to type these three things in the comments and in the house. Yell them out loud so that everybody can hear you. Since y'all log into church everywhere these days, I know you shout it so you can hear the echo in your bathroom. But if we're going to be successful living out and I can but I won't mentality, we've got to manage responsibly these three things. Say them with me, type them with me. Freedom, associations, and truth. See, in the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul responds to a question that is raised concerning eating food that had been offered to idols. He basically says, hey, you don't even believe in those idols, and since you don't believe in them, they have no power. Essentially, they are nothing. Therefore, eating food or not eating the food would not commend them to or push them away from God. They had the freedom to do as they please concerning eating food that had been offered to idols. But see, it's in this notion of freedom that a lot of us have gotten tripped up. See, we absolutely do have freedom in Christ. In fact, Paul is the one that said it in Galatians 5, stand fast in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Yes, we are free, and yes, we have liberty, but we also have boundaries. Boundaries concerning the ways that we live in the world. Our freedom is to the extent that we can live free from the bondage of sin and the penalty that comes with it. Christian freedom, however, does not give us a free pass to do as we please under the premise that God knows my heart. See, Christian freedom does not give us a free pass to sit silently on issues and matters of injustice under the premise that Christians should not be involved in politics. Well, anything that involves and impacts God's people is the business of the Christian. Whether it's politics, whether it's pole dancing, whatever it is that impacts God's people is the business of the Christian. Do I have any Christians in the house today who say, yes, it's my business? Christian freedom does not grant us some position or some superior status over those who do not believe or look or think or feel like us. But instead, this freedom, y'all, gives us access to serve our brothers and sisters to the extent that those who are different from us love like they have never experienced love before. That's what this Christian freedom does. Stop looking down at brothers and sisters who may not have made it like you think you've made it. Stop looking down at people who may not have progressed to the place that you think that you have progressed. Christian freedom gives us the liberty to love even those who don't believe like we believe. Christian freedom must be handled responsibly. It is a gift from God, and this freedom must not be used for self-service. But instead, we have this freedom, Aunt Janelle, to participate in the work of God in the earth. And so Paul explains to them. He says the idols are nothing. They are of no effect, and you're free to partake in the food. But their interpretation of this freedom to partake was that it was without any further responsibility. Are y'all still with me? Wave your hand if you're still with me. Please don't leave me. We'll be gone. We'll be done in a minute. But Paul, in essence, encourages them to adopt the testimony, I can, but I won't. See, there's freedom, but then, Minister Brian, there's associations. See, so far, too often, it's our associations that determine what is right and what is wrong for us. The desire to belong and be accepted is a natural human desire, and so we can often be found doing whatever it takes to be accepted. Julie, the norms of the majority in the space that we're in have a great deal of influence over our choices, from social and political engagement to fashion and to culture and so much more. And it's the reason that we must handle our associations responsibly. The issue at hand for Paul and the Corinthians, the reason why they needed to adopt this "I can but I won't" mentality, was because of the impact that their decisions would have on their associations. The issue was not right or wrong. The issue was impact. I want to say that again. The issue was not right or wrong, preachers. The issue was impact. The issue at hand was the impact that their eating food offered up to idols would have on those who did not know as much as they did. The impact it would have on the brothers and sisters who did not have the same understanding of freedom, the same knowledge that the idols to which the meat was offered up were nothing. And so the apostle says, be careful lest your liberty, lest your freedom become a stumbling block to somebody who is not as strong. And by the same token, we've got to be careful that our liberty does not become a stumbling block to someone who is not as strong. It's not enough for us to simply avoid sin of our own, but we've got to be careful not to cause others to fall into sin. It's not enough for us to ensure that we are fulfilling our destiny, but we've got to be careful not to cause somebody else to derail theirs. Yes, you have freedom of speech, but watch your mouth. I can't say it enough, because you never know who is in your presence. You don't know who you are impacting negatively with your criticism of people, places, and things. When you talk bad about the church and when you talk about the pastor, you don't know who is in earshot of those words and will not be able to receive the very thing that they need for life and holiness and encouragement because of your mouth. Look at your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Yes, it is your social media page, but before you post, think about how it will impact your associations, because everything is not for everybody's consumption. And so Paul says, listen, if their conscience is bruised, if the impact that you have on them is negative, you not only sin against them, but you sin against the one who died for them. We are not Christians in a vacuum, y'all. But everything that we do and everything that we are, whatever it is that we will ever be, impacts the entire community. And you think you over there just having a conversation with your little friends. But what you're doing is tearing apart. Well, what you're doing is tearing apart and reducing people's ability to receive from the very institution and the very places and people that God has set in their path so that they can journey toward greater. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. And watch your actions. Because you lift holy hands and you post scripture 5 days a week, but on the sixth day, you come with something discord sowing, come with something shaky, and come with something that is just off. And the same people who are reading the scripture say, but if your God can't keep you, what is he supposed to do with me? And so this is why this me mentality is toxic to us. This Christian journey is a journey together with Christ and with one another. And so the next time you do what you do, whatever it is that you do, remember that if the exercise of your freedom will contribute to the weakness and stumbling of your associations, then take your freedom and deny yourself of doing what you want to do. Live out the meaning of I can, but I won't. We got freedom. West, we got associations, and we have truth. And why does all of this matter, Shanita? Stand up, Shanita. Y'all, this is Shanita Thomas. She's going to be one of our seminary interns. She's a student at Princeton Theological Seminary. Where's Aubrey? Stand up, Aubrey. Aubrey is another one of our seminary interns, Princeton Theological Seminary. Y'all met Bianca. She's probably online this morning. She's one of our interns from Howard University School of Divinity. Shiloh, we are a teaching hospital. Or a teaching church. I just thought I'd let y'all know that. But the next time, so we've got freedom associations, and here's what's at stake. Here's why it matters, Minister Kim. It's because the truth of the gospel is at stake. Not that there's anything that you or I, anybody can do to make the gospel within itself less powerful. However, what we do will have a hand in impacting the degree to which people are willing to receive the gospel truth. See, we've been trusted to carry this timeless and trendless truth, a truth that transforms lives, the gospel that strengthens and empowers, the gospel that results in freedom. And because of this gospel, we've got to be responsible for our associations. And it is the gospel that calls us, every Christian, not just the preacher, to be servant of all. In fact, later in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 19th verse, Paul says, "For though I am free from all men, I've made myself servant to all that I might win the more. To the Jews, I became a Jew. To those without the law, I became as without the law. To the weak, I became weak. I became all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake." Truth is, you matter to God. Look at somebody. As a matter of fact, tap yourself and say, self, you matter to God. But not only do you matter to God, they matter to God. And in fact, God cared so much about the world that he gave his only begotten son. And if God was so concerned about the lives of the people we encounter as we go about our day, the lives of our children, the lives of our coworkers and those we serve alongside in ministry, if God was so concerned about them that Jesus died for them, how much more should you be concerned enough to deny yourself of exercising your will and become disciplined and manage your responses, respond to the call for action that we serve instead of demanding that we be served? How much more should we be mindful about becoming good examples of mature Christians? Why not, brothers and sisters, deny ourselves of exercising our own will when we know or suspect that doing you will be a stumbling block to them? When those God loves, and that's everybody, let me say it again, when those that God loves, and that is everybody, even the people you don't like, not just those in your circle or in my circle or those that we like, but everyone created in God's image, and that is everyone, God loves all of them. And when they hurt, when they are misled, when they're thrown off track and offended and oppressed and talked about and abused and have discord sown concerning them, they are not the only ones who feel the impact of it. Can I tell you today that Christ himself absorbs the pain, the misleading, the offense, the oppression, the abuse, and the gossip? Whatever we cause to happen in the life of our brother or sister, it's just like we did it to Jesus. I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. In as much as you've done to the least of these. And so Paul could eat meat. But what good is eating meat no matter how hungry you are, if it ends up being contrary to the plan of God in the life of my brother or my sister? What good is it for us to exercise our freedom if it results in someone else falling deeper into bondage? And so Paul's testimony is this: I can, but I won't. And we are in an hour in the life of the church at large where God is calling for us to grow up, where God is calling for us to remember that everything that we do is an expression of worship, is an expression of how we feel about God. And especially in this season of social distancing where the church has been deployed and we are living out the reality of the priesthood of all believers, God is calling for us to mature a little more, to be more careful with our witness, to exercise more responsibility concerning our freedom associations and the truth that we have been trusted with. And so today, it is our prayer that you would take a moment and search your own life and go to the areas where you have exercised freedom and that freedom has been a stumbling block to your associations. Let me tell you this, that lies and sex and drugs, those are not the only issues that break the heart of God. Those aren't the only stumbling blocks, but will you take a look at your life and make a decision today that from this day forward, my testimony in the areas where I have fallen short will be I can, but I won't. Today, Shiloh and friends, will you adopt the testimony, I can, but I won't, when the world presents its self-centered ideologies that are contrary to the truth that I've been trusted to carry? Will you stand boldly and say, I can go along with all of that, but I won't? And let me encourage you today, you can indeed do it. No matter how strong the pull of the flesh and self-will and culture is, you can do it. And how do I know that you can do it? Because the Bible told me so. The Bible is full of stories of people whose testimony was, I can, but I won't. And guess what, Shiloh? I brought some great witnesses with me straight out of the text, Damaris. I brought Brother Joseph, who in the book of Genesis, we meet him while his brothers are hating on him because he's a dreamer who found favor with his father. They packed him up one day. They tore up his shiny coat. They threw him in a pit and sold him as a slave. Joseph ended up being a slave and a prisoner. But long story short, as the time would have it, Joseph's brothers end up at his doorstep in need of some help. Joseph could have taken this as an opportunity for the big payback, but instead, Joseph forgives them. He says, God allowed all of this to happen to me so that I could preserve a posterity for you. Joseph could have gotten revenge. He could not have forgiven, but Joseph's testimony was, I can, but I won't, because there is a bigger picture. But Joseph was not the only one. Come here, David, and let me tell your story too. David, we know he was a little raggedy, but today I want you to know that there is hope for anybody. David was Jesse's youngest son, anointed king, who ends up killing Goliath, the Philistine. Saul loves him at first, but the moment that the people begin to sing David's praises, Saul's anger is kindled against him. And on more than one occasion, David has to run for his very life. And this one day, over in 1 Samuel 24, y'all go read it this week, he has a chance. And this same David who killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands could have taken Saul out without a blink. But David says, the Lord delivered you into my hand in this cave. And somebody even urged me. They told me to take you out, but my eyes spared you. I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. David's testimony was, I can, but I won't, because there is a bigger picture. David and Joseph were not the only ones. I brought the Bible today, but Nehemiah was busy rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and Sanballat and Tobiah sent a message requesting a meeting. Nehemiah could go meet them, but his response was, why should the work cease so I can leave it and come down to you? Nehemiah was almost finished. He had been working for a mighty long time. He could have stopped for I can, but I won't, because there is a bigger picture. And Joseph, Nehemiah, and David were not the only ones. But come here, Job. You got to testify about how your greatest fears became true, how you lost everything, your house, your kids, your health, your livelihood, everything. Even your friends turned on you, and this one day your boo even came in and said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? And after all he had been through, worst nightmare came through, all because God gave Satan permission to test him. He could have easily taken his wife up on her offer, but Job's testimony was, I can, but I won't. I don't know what it is yet, but there is a bigger picture. And Nehemiah, Job, David, and Joseph, they are not the only ones. But is there anybody in the building? Is there anybody on the internet who will adopt the testimony, I can, but I won't? Is there anybody in here who will say, if Joseph and David and Nehemiah and Job could experience what they did and still serve the bigger picture, well, maybe those guys aren't enough supporting evidence for you that we can rise above the pressures of culture and personal comfort and rise above the pressure to be irresponsible with our freedom and irresponsible for our associations and irresponsible with the truth of the gospel. Well, Shiloh, I brought one more witness. I brought one more witness. Do you want to hear from the last witness? Well, come in, Jesus, the greatest testimony of all time. God wrapped in flesh, came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit, was born of a Virgin Mary in a manger barn. He could have stayed seated in glory, but he said, I can, but I won't. He walked the earth, encountered the sick and the broken, the blind and the bruised, the outcasted. He could have left them just like they were, but his testimony was, I can, but I won't. He was betrayed, mocked and despised and rejected. They beat him mercilessly on that cross. They made jokes. They asked one another. He saved others, but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross. But I'm so glad that Jesus stayed right there. He did not come down from the cross just to save himself, but he decided to hang right there, because on Calvary's cross, Jesus' testimony was, I can, but I won't. Is there anybody in the house this morning who will say, I may not want to be like David, I may not want to be like Nehemiah, I may not want to be like Job, but I want to be like Jesus. I thank God for freedom, but as of today, when it comes to some things, my testimony will be, I can, but I won't, because there's a bigger picture, and I'm a soldier in the army. I feel like preaching. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I have an assignment. This world is in need of a Savior's love. The world desperately needs Jesus, and my assignment is to get a Jesus to the world. And so I'm going to serve harder. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do all things so that the gospel can go where it needs to go. I'm going to do what I've got to do so that the gospel can reach what it needs to reach. And if that means I've got to deny myself of some things, if it means that I've got to be more disciplined, if it means that I've got to love more, I got to do some things differently, change some habits, then I will. I can cuss you out, but I won't. I can send those nude pictures, but I won't. I can sub-message you, but I won't. When it comes to staying the shame and going through the motions, I can, but I won't. Oh, yes, I can, but I won't. And from now on, my measuring stick is the gospel. Hey! From now on, the measuring stick is the gospel. Not what your little friends prefer. Not we always did it this way. Not, but I'm more comfortable with this. Not everybody in my family does this. We love your family, invite them to church, but they're not your measuring stick. But our measuring stick from now on shall be the gospel, and the gospel alone. And if it does not help, the gospel is not for me. It's not for you. Because we see a bigger picture. And it won't always be easy. Trust me, Shiloh, it won't always make us happy. But we won't find anywhere in Scripture where Jesus died just to make us happy. He died to give us life, and that more abundantly. That does not mean always happy. He died so that we can live above our sinful nature. So naturally, there'll always be some clashes. But we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. We're soldiers. Can we sing that? Y'all know that we got to fight. Although we have to cry. I feel churchy today. Is that all right? I missed y'all last week. Wendell, you know that we got to fight. Although we have to cry, we've got to hold up the bloodstained banner. We've got to hold it up until we die. Come on, I'm a Sunday school baby. Yeah. Come on, y'all, stand on your feet. We're soldiers. Just look at somebody near you and say, we're soldiers. Hold it up.
Oh, we are soldiers. We are in the army. We have to fight. Although we have to cry, we have to hold up the bloodstained banner. We gotta hold it up. Oh, we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to fight. We have to hold up the bloodstained banner. We have to hold it up. Listen, my mother. She was a soldier, oh yes. She had a hand on the gospel plow.
she had to stand there and fight on anyhow.
Been liberated. Somebody came already. Sister knew she was liberated. So I want to talk to you for a moment. God has been talking to you all week. Matter of fact, he's probably been talking to you all month. He's been talking and talking and talking, and you've been hearing him. Something that was said today, something that was sung today, a melody. I don't know what it is. It's rather personal. But you heard God talk to you. You heard God say, get up. Get up and come to me. Get up and surrender all that you have to me. Surrender all your burdens to me. Surrender all your troubles and your heartaches to me. You heard God's voice. So I really don't have to say anything. That's why that sister came down the aisle before I even opened my mouth. If that's you, where you stand, won't you come? Won't you come? It's tradition in the Baptist church to say the doors of the church are open. Here at Shiloh, we want you to know that the heart of God is open. The heart of God is open to you today. So won't you come? You may have already been baptized and belong to a church, but you're seeking to join us. That's the other part of the message. That you got the truth, you've been free, And now here comes the association. Won't you associate yourselves with the Shiloh Baptist Church? We promise that we're gonna do everything not to hurt you. We're human, I'm gonna tell you that right now. We're human and we're not a perfect church, but we ask that you give us a chance to associate ourselves with you and you with us. So the truth, you got it. The free, you got the freedom. And now you have the association. Won't you come? Is there anyone else that would like to come and join the Shiloh Baptist Church? Truth, freedom, and association. Thank you, church. You may be seated. Let's give it up for those who came. Give it up for those who surrender. Amen and amen.
Thank you.
Minister Alicia's grandbaby just gave her life to Christ. Come on, Josiah. We're getting ready to go home. Let's stand to our feet all over the sanctuary as we prepare to go. We thank God for a growing church.
May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show.
Bless all of you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all week long, may you be mindful of how you use your freedom, how you manage your associations, and how you represent the truth of this gospel. Shiloh, go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness. And remember that Jesus is Lord and you are loved. Amen.